Welcome to Adoption Talk by Spence Chapin, the podcast where all the voices of the adoption constellation come together. Twice a month, this podcast brings you conversations with adoptees, birth parents, adoptive families, and adoption professionals as they share their experiences and discuss all things adoption. We're glad you've joined us. On today's episode, we hear from birth mother Sarah, adoptive mom Lori, and adoptee Ela, who have been in an open adoption since Ela's birth. Together, they talk with Spence Chapin, Director of Domestic Adoption Programs and Outreach, Monica Baker, about their experiences with open adoption and what it has meant in each of their lives. Let's get started.
Hello, and thank you for joining us on Spence Chapin's podcast. Today, we have a really special episode, and we are speaking with a family that is involved in an open adoption. We have Lori, who is the mother of Ela. She's Ella's adoptive mom. We also have Sarah, who is mother of Ela, who is her birth mother. And we are really lucky to be speaking with all three of them about their experience as a family involved in an open adoption, and to hear their perspectives and how their relationship has developed over time. So welcome everyone, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
We're happy to be here today.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So I think I will start by talking to Sarah. And Sarah, could you share with us a little bit about Ela, you're how old now?
I'm 15.
15. So we're going back 15 plus years. And I was wondering if you could share with us just a little bit about what was going on in your life at the time that you discovered that you were pregnant with Ela.
So I was 17 years old in Catholic high school, really scared. My dad's Catholic, my family's Catholic. And being pregnant at 17 before you're married is not really acceptable in most families. I first told my aunt, who told her husband, and then her husband told my father, because I was so scared to tell him. But he was actually really supportive. My whole family was supportive. Gabriella's birth father, Jonathan, was really supportive. He basically said, whatever you want to do, I'm here for you, which was excellent. I wouldn't be able to do it with all the support that I had, which was really nice because I was really scared.
And at what point did you start to think that adoption was a consideration?
So my dad is actually adopted. I didn't even know he was adopted until he told me he was adopted when I told him that I was pregnant. He said, I support you in whatever you choose, but let's consider all options and then we'll go from there. And he found this really great agency called Catholic Charities. And that's the agency that I found Lori.
And so at that point, did you know much about an open adoption?
I didn't even know much about adoption at all, really. I didn't know, really anything. But then once I started doing, my research and talking to my family, we all kind of agree that open adoption was a really, good idea.
And then, so you found Lori through, mm-hmm. through your agency and,
yes.
And it sounds like you looked up through a lot of different families and she seems
yes.
like the right one. And
clarify, I was working with Spence Chapin.
Okay.
And Sarah is a very particular girl. She went through all the books at Catholic Charities and then Catholic Charities reached out to Spence Chapin to say, help, I have a birth mother. She can't pick anybody. Nobody fits her bill. And then we were blessed to have been found by her.
Wow. Well, good thing she was so particular then, right?
Well, I have two, you know. Ella's very much like Sarah in that way.
So what was that like initially when the two of you met?
Well, Sarah and Jonathan, Ella's birth father, lived within 2 miles of our home.
Oh, wow.
And I got a call from somebody at Spence Chapin saying, you know, I just want you to be sure about what you guys are going to do, because this is you guys are going to see each other in town. And we don't know if that's a good thing. We're not sure we recommend that. And I said, you have counseled me, Spence Chapin, so beautifully that bring it on. If it's going to be open, let's open it all the way. And going over to meet them was like the most incredible job interview you were ever going to go in your life. I was not a young person. I was 46 years old. So I had been to job interviews. This one was going to be a tough one. 17-year-old girl and boy were going to be interviewing me.
The most important of your life, I'm
yes,
sure.
Yes, because that my dream would come true. And I remember being so incredibly nervous and I hardly able to breathe, and walking into that room, I just remember this big conference table and the fluorescent lights, and at the end of the table, it was like Mary and Joseph were sitting there with a light on them, like the angels and saints that they were. And the first thing that I remember Sarah saying to me that warmed my beautiful heart, because this is where I'm from too, she said, my mother's from Brooklyn and so am I. And it was like an instant bond. I could have cried, I laughed. And really, it was just a very magical moment for all of us, I think, even the social workers and everybody was just like, it was magic. It really was. And I can say that I sweated profusely and through the whole entire meeting. It was just two of the most beautiful people I had ever seen in my life.
That's nice that you felt such a nice connection to them. And I'm sure that really helped with the idea of keeping in long-term contact with them, you know, during your open adoption.
Well, it was easy with Sarah and Jonathan. Sarah was just always so respectful of the relationship and always asked me, like, is it okay if, you know, we see, and we saw each other a lot in the beginning. Right.
Yeah.
Every 3 months we met up. And there's so many pictures of, you know, because that's one of the things that I was advised with through Spence Chapin is take a lot of pictures. And, you know, when you meet up with the birth family, and we have so many pictures of Ella as a little baby, all of us holding her. And it, you know, really, it just tells her complete story. You know, from the beginning. And the other thing Sarah surprised me with at the meeting was she said, you want to know what it is? And then she said, I'm 3 centimeters dilated. I was going to like faint on the floor, like, right? Right?
She was on her way. So at that point, when you guys talked about having an open adoption and keeping in touch, what did you all envision that looking like?
I didn't know how much I would fall in love with her. So, you know, it was easy.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted her to see every little milestone. And we weren't on the Facebook then. It was 2006. It was really mostly, even texting email was like low.
Yeah.
But we just met every 3 months. Mm-hmm. And then I would have pictures for her. Mm-hmm. Of things, a package of pictures, I think, for her. Mm-hmm. Every
yeah.
And we made sure we met for Ella's birthday, and we met for Christmas and Easter. And, and the thing that Sarah still bothers me about Sarah is that every time we meet, she has a bag, huge bag, Santa Claus bag full of presents for this one every single time.
Well, I'm sure Gabriella doesn't mind that at all.
I'll yell at her and say, cut that out. And, you know, but we would meet like at the agency. We would meet in parks, we would meet at the mall. Mm-hmm. Because I think my husband at the time was not comfortable with them coming to our home. He just felt like he wanted to keep it separate. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel that way anymore. So Sarah and Travis come over and we have dinner, and it's really, I gotta kick them out. Because we just have so much fun together and talking. And I'm so proud of Sarah and the man she picked to marry. And so it's a whole different, it went from like just keeping separate outside of our home, both our homes really.
Yeah. Right?
Until you got married to Travis, then you invited us to your house.
Yeah.
It's just been a beautiful, evolving of a relationship, I think.
Yeah.
Now this one babysits for extended family, cousins of Sarah's. So it's really kind of amazing.
Yeah. Wow. That just sounds like such like a true and organic relationship, which is really the ideal. And, you know, I know that sometimes for folks like coming into an open adoption, it might be a new concept and one that you don't have models for in other parts of your life. And, you know, I think just from what I've heard from birth and adoptive parents coming into this is it can feel a little bit daunting when you haven't experienced that. Like, what is this going to look like? What is this going to be like? What, you know, how are we going to interact? And, you know, how is this going to be for my child? And can you talk about any of those types of feelings that you may have had before really understanding that this relationship was coming together and it, you know, was flourishing into what you have today?
I mean, so long ago. I mean, it's pretty amazing. Sorry, I get a cough drop.
I'm going to just say, she'll come back. I'm just going to say that Sarah always led the way with just being respectful. She always asked, is it okay of us? And that just made me feel so comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I felt such respect from her. And I just in turn gave it right back. Like, you know, thank you. Because people often ask me, because I tell the story a lot. I'm a college professor and my students like to get to know me. And when I'm talking about persuasive speeches, I say the speech that I give is that people should consider being an open adoption. And they are fascinated, you know, that that's what happens. And they ask me like, what do they, does Sarah get to pick the school that Ella goes to? Does Sarah get, I said, no, it's not like that. But you know, it really came from Sarah just always asking me, like, for just right, Sarah. I mean, would you say that's how you approached it, or?
Yeah. For a long time, I made sure you were okay with everything. Like, is it okay to meet in this month? Is it okay this and that? I wanted both of us to be on the same page.
I really do. For 15 years, I think we have been. And then some.
Yeah.
You know? Because we've had some life issues between all of us, families, all kinds of happiness and all kinds of tragedy and, you know, upsetment. And mm-hmm. I can count on Sarah to have my back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like a level of trust was built from early on, which I think is really important in a healthy and successful open adoption.
And our families, you know, my family in particular also, of course, didn't understand what is that? What is, but then once they met Sarah and they love her. I mean, they just love her. She's just part of the family. Ella made her confirmation not too long ago, and everybody was there for Aunt Sarah. And, you know, it's just like, the actions are so funny, right? Sarah, they'll say, well, who are you? And I'll say, oh, this is Ella's birth mother. And they're like, what? oh, my goodness. I did it in the park, right, Sarah? I'm doing it in the park, anywhere. And, you know, people just it takes them out. And then they go, oh, wow, that's really great for Ella. Mm-hmm. That's really great for Ella. And that's really what it's all about.
Yes, certainly. The whole idea of the open adoption is for the benefit of the adoptee to have access and to have the opportunity to know their biological family. And so, Sarah, can you describe kind of what you thought of it in the early phases, and maybe how it may be different than how it actually turned out?
I mean, I didn't know too much about it in the beginning, but I mean, everything turned out perfect. I mean, we're both there for each other. Gabriella came to my high school graduation. She was in my wedding. She came to my bridal shower. She'll be coming to my baby shower. She'll be babysitting.
Very cool. And Gabriella, how has that been for you? Can you describe, you know, was there ever a time that you didn't know Sarah, or was like she always just kind of a constant in your life that helped you understand, you know, kind of your whole adoption experience a bit more?
You say whatever you want, Ella, you know me.
I mean, she was always kind of there. I'm very lucky for that.
Yeah. It sounds like a pretty incredible relationship that's evolved in a really special one.
She's looking at me. I'll tell a funny little story of Bella. And I guess she was maybe 5 years old or six or something like that. And we're driving in the car, and we do a lot of our great chats in the car. And Ella said, because her friends were asking asking about your real mother and this and that. And Ella said to me, Mommy, I hope you don't get mad, but I was thinking, what would it be like if I stayed with Sarah? So I said, well, you know, I think it would be great. I said, but if you're thinking that you get a big bag of presents every day. And she said, oh, all right. I said, 'cause that's not a daily thing.
So Gabriella,
she knows it's true.
When you have friends who are just curious about your family and your relationship with your birth mom, how do you describe it to them?
She actually has a number of friends who are adopted. One is from Russia. She was adopted in Russia. Who else? Jess was from China. Gianna was from Vietnam. And they did have conversation around their birth mothers. And I think we got in trouble one time because Ella said to all of them, well, I know who my birth mother is. And she didn't mean it mean, but the other girls started crying because they didn't know their birth mother. And then the vice principal called and said, Ella's bragging about a birth mother. I'm sorry, but she knows who it is. And the other girls didn't. And, you know, I know that that's, you know, that's a thing. And that's why I wanted to be so open, because I never wanted her to wonder, you know, like after I talked to everybody at Spence Chapin, it makes so much sense. Like, I don't want her wondering like, oh, who placed me there and where are they and what could they look like and what are they doing? And is there any other sisters or brothers? And so I think that is solid, that like helps her in her own identity.
Sure. And, you know, it is for many adoptees, they don't have access to that kind of information, which it seems like in your own personal life and friendships, you have experienced with some of your friends. And, if there's an opportunity for contact and for you to know, it's important that your adoptive parents try their best to make that happen. And, I'm so glad too that Sarah's really made the commitment to that as well.
And Sarah's whole family. I mean, when Ella was little and I took her to the dentist, she was missing some teeth. And I didn't know what happened. I called Sarah, I called Sarah's mother, and Sarah called her mother. Mm-hmm. And her mother said, oh yeah, I'm missing teeth too. So okay. It was like the medical stuff was just, it's so accessible to us that it's just such a relief to not have to wonder like, oh, what's that from? Or where did that come from? Or, it's genetic. So, okay, we have that information at our disposal. So there was so many pluses in the category of do I do open or do I not, that we couldn't even imagine. Even I wanted to adopt another child too. And I was like totally ready, thanks to Sarah and how great she was, and Jonathan too in the beginning years, to say, oh, absolutely. For another situation. Now it might not have been as easy with Sarah, as it was, with Sarah, but I was ready for the challenge, because as open as I could be encourages the openness, I think, that Sarah was. And, in fact, we had Brooklyn in common and, Catholicism. And there's a reason why you pick somebody that you don't even know. Right.
Yeah.
Sarah,
yeah.
I sent some crazy pictures. I can't believe you picked me. My book had me in a clown outfit.
and I have heard this described by adoptive parents before, that maybe in those initial phases, the idea of openness is a little daunting and scary. And then once you're parenting and knowing your child and knowing that there's some need there for them to have some answers and some connection, as a parent, you're wanting to give your child what they need. And so once, you're experiencing it from that end, the idea of not having any openness is actually what's scary.
Exactly. Very well said.
And I think that can be the same from the birth parent's perspective too, of like, feeling maybe overwhelmed by, the idea of what that would be like to be in contact. And it can be hard, but the not knowing, could be something that would be incredibly difficult. So for the adoptee as well.
I love the nature versus nurture aspects of all of this, because seeing Sarah in action and, talking to her mom, which is a great wealth, and her dad, great wealth of information for me, because some of Sarah's, way she is in Ella. Her mother told me from the beginning, stubborn. Sarah was stubborn. And boy, do I got it over here with stubborn. I mean, and it helps me to be able to parent even, having that information and to try not to get frustrated by it, because, it's a constant discovery here. It's not me. I didn't create that. So I can't even relate sometimes to it. And sometimes I definitely can. I hope she got her kindness and sense of humor from, nurturing. But it's over there in the Sarah Daly side too. But it really, it clarifies a lot of stuff that you could be just not knowing. Which are many people, especially in international adoptions, you don't know. And not that that's bad, because it's like a discovery and an unfolding all the time. I'm a Virgo, so I like things very particularly. So the fact that I could call somebody and say, did you refuse to wear a dress? Were you stubborn? Somebody says, yeah, oh yeah, that's her. It's relieving for the mother, for the adoptive mother.
Are there any challenges that you've had in navigating the relationship that you would want to share?
No, I don't think we have. We haven't had any challenges, other than COVID.
Not us. Go ahead, Sarah. What?
We haven't had any challenges.
No. I think the male figures have been the challenges.
That's true.
The male figures. Yeah. I guess 5 years ago or something, Ella saw some pictures of Sarah at the prom, and she went to the prom with Jonathan, Ella's birth father. And we hadn't seen him for a while because they were young and they broke up, and Ella asked to meet him. And to his credit, he agreed. And we had a meeting, and it was, Ella resembles him too. And I know when Ella saw him, and when I saw him, because I hadn't seen him in a while, it was remarkable. Like, oh wow, they really look alike. And he was like, wow, you remember he said to you, you look like my sister. And so, and Ella asked him what she wanted to ask him, and he answered very honestly. And we had a very lovely dinner. But he has his life, and
that was the extent of the
contact. And with the male figure that was here and is not now, it's been a little difficult, but Sarah's experience divorce and has been helpful to us too, in her early years. And and life is not happy all the time. We can say, oh, it's just wonderful, but there's bumps in the road. But I just think the mutual respect that we have for each other, and I think understanding family dynamics too. I'm Irish Catholic, Sarah's Irish Catholic. We kind of get that whole way people communicate and the dynamics and the everything's fine, laugh it away. Right? She's laughing. So that is helpful.
Sarah, Lori had shared that she thinks that you just being so respectful from the very get-go and always, asking and being just very mindful of her boundaries was helpful in her building trust in you and, feeling comfortable developing that relationship. Can you talk about what Lori did that helped you feel comfortable in the relationship?
I mean, I was young, and Lori was this very happy person, and I just fell in love with her. She's an amazing woman. And I had no reason not to trust her at all.
I'm crying a little. Now don't get me there, Sarah. We're blessed. We are really blessed in this situation. I have friends that have fostered and adopted 6 young children, and each birth parent has its set of challenges, but they knew me doing this. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I inspired it, but they certainly, have shared with me that it is not always an easy road, but if you stay open and honest with each other, if something wasn't comfortable for me or I couldn't make it that day, we said, Sarah, I can't do it. Or Sarah would tell me, no, I got to go to work. We had no resentments or worries, or we always made it happen. Mm-hmm. And I think, that it is a doable, no matter what the situation is, as long as you just keep this open, honest, communication mm-hmm. with each other. And women do that very well.
Yeah.
Don't edit that part. Because we do. Yeah. You know, we do.
Well, Ella, it sounds like you're very lucky to have these two strong women as the women in your life. And this is a question for all of you, is there any advice that you would have for folks that are maybe early on in their adoption and to make the openness a success?
Want me to go first?
Yeah.
Don't be afraid, because if you all have what's in the best interest, what's best for your child, as long as you keep that in the forefront, what is the best thing ultimately? You don't know down the road, but like if you can like project like when they're 21 or when they're 35. I've had a number of adoptees find out when they were 35 and their parents died that they were adopted. And the reaction was not, they didn't do well with that information at that time in their life. So if you could keep that in the forefront of your mind, that as much as it may get in your way or have, you know, you have to go outside of yourself, just don't be afraid, because the more honest you could be, the more you're doing for your child, the better the child is going to feel about their own story. It's not your story, really. It's the child's story. And if you can help that story further and further and have it good and positive and, you know, great memories, then that'll get you through anything.
Yeah, just open and being open and transparent is with your child about any information that you do have is really critical.
Yeah.
And they deserve to have that info. Sarah, what about you?
What do you think, Sarah?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. My dad, I mean, he's 70 now. So back then, open adoption wasn't as it is now. So he doesn't know who his birth parents are. I actually recently, through 23andMe, found his cousin. And still my dad now is like kind of iffy about meeting her or talking to her. Because back then it wasn't really like a thing. But yeah, I mean, I agree, as long as you're upfront and honest and, you know, hopefully your family's very supportive of everything and can help you through it, then definitely the child definitely comes first.
It's the great adoption is the greatest gift of love that you will ever experience. So when you think about an adoptive parent, I mean, a birth parent, this is a gift of love, you know? And I think a mother's love times two is fantastic. You know, one mother's love is nice. Times two, even better. And that is all that we have shared together, Sarah. You know, any milestone, every cheerleading thing, every puppy. We got a puppy. Sarah's a vet tech. She was over here the first day to tell me what to do. She helped me raise my puppy. You know, so it's just, you know, the more love for this teenager over here, the better.
That's beautiful. And it's great to hear, you know, about your story, for sure. And, you know, just to close it out, Ella, I would love to hear from you. Is there anything that you would want people to know about adoption or open adoption that you may think that folks have a misunderstanding about?
I'll look the other. Well, is it, do you think it's, you don't know because it's like so natural for you, or?
I mean, yeah.
It's just you?
It's just been your life. And, you know, it really seems like all three of you are truly blessed to have, you know, such a nice and open and natural
relationship. And fun. And we have and fun.
There's clearly a lot of love between all of you. So I so appreciate your time to tell your story. And, you know, as I said before, it's, you know, so important for these stories to be told and for folks to hear different perspectives. So thank you for that. And I guess we will end it there.
It was great to be here. And we highly recommend an open adoption. So go forward without fear. And open and honesty is the way to be. So thank you for having us today. I loved it, as you can tell. Ella wants to kill me, but oh well.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you, Sarah. We love you.
Love you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Adoption Talk. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe and leave us a rating wherever you get your podcasts. You can also head to spence-chapin.org/adoptiontalk to leave feedback, suggest episode topics, and sign up for updates on the latest episodes. See you next time.